Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome in, everybody. Frank Bassett joining you with this special edition of Golf Talk America. Tim will be jumping back in with us during the Masters with some special coverages. But we had an opportunity to catch up with some of the players, some of our favorites, as a matter of fact, during the week this week, early on, the press conferences in the press building at Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, where we were treated to some really neat insights, I should say, from, again, some of our favorite players, and we wanted to share a little bit of that with you. So live from Augusta, Georgia this week, here's a little bit of what Jordan Spieth had to say.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are pleased to welcome back our 2015 Masters champion, Jordan Spieth, to the interview room. Jordan, first of all, congratulations to you, Annie, and your team on your win yesterday in Texas. Let's see, that's your 12th PGA Tour victory and your first since 2017. We've all enjoyed watching you compete over the last few months and seeing you in contention leading up to your win yesterday. So, in thinking about it, driving down here, Magnolia Lane, arriving at your at Masters, your game over the past few months, and seeing and expectations for the week, and how do you feel about arriving at the Masters, driving down Magnolia Lane, and playing the best golf in recent memory?
Yeah, I've certainly pulled down this morning, not long ago, and it's probably, you know, when you're coming in form, it's a good feeling when you arrive here. And I've had that a few times. I've had it where, you know, I pulled down after missing a cut or not playing well leading up to it and still played well here too. So just, I love being here. I love being on the ground. It's my favorite tournament in the world. I've expressed that many times in here. But yesterday was a great day. It was a lot of fun being in contention, having the putts kind of go in. As I've mentioned over the last 6 weeks or so, you put yourself in that position enough times, the bounces will go your way. And that's kind of the motto I've always lived by, is just try and be in form as often as you can, be as consistent as you can. And you end up holding the trophy at the end every once in a while. And it was a while since the last time it happened. And we got in late and didn't really have the normal celebrations in order that you would have after a win, certainly with this around the corner. So it's about trying to certainly soak it in, but get refocused for year's first major.
With that, we'll open it up to questions. Doug?
You had said, Jordan, I think on the telecast, that you weren't as emotional as you thought you'd be when you won. Why did you expect to be emotional, and why do you think you weren't?
Well, I thought that I'd kind of have a lot of the memories of the downs and the struggles and then the climb back and really the progress and the momentum over the last, you know, few months, all that kind of hit me. And it just kind of was like a one footer to win. And and then I saw Annie and I got pretty emotional when that happened. She was pretty emotional. And I think, you know, I was happy that I didn't, you know, that it didn't hit me that hard, that it felt more normal, that it felt like me, like that's where I'm supposed to be. This is who I am. And sometimes you lose confidence and you just kind of a little chink in the armor here and there. And that's kind of what I had experienced. And so it was nice to kind of, I guess, feel normal towards the end of the round yesterday. I mean, it was a grind, but to make birdies closing out was really fun on a pretty difficult track. And then here and there, it's hit me a little bit, but all in all, I mean, it's about refocusing here and taking it the next step. I mean, I feel it's actually been a lot easier for me to, over the last kind of 12 hours, to just look forward versus kind of looking back, I guess. And that's exciting. I mean, I just feel like there's quite a few things that I still need to really improve on and get better. And I felt that over the weekend. I felt that, you know, it wasn't the best my swing felt. It wasn't the best my stroke felt. There are times and ways that I can take a step forward and feel better and produce better golf shots consistently and produce better strokes. And it was pretty awesome when I look back and think, you know, there's a next level that I've been at that I'm still searching for right now.
Jimmy?
Jordan, congratulations, first of all. I've got two questions. I'll try and jam them both in here now. Why do you think you play so well here, number one, historically you have? And can you look back over the last 4 years and pick a point that was the lowest point for you emotionally? Because you said yesterday was monumental.
Yeah, I think I used a word that was within 30 seconds of tapping in the last putt and just kind of not really knowing where my head was at. And I think that was probably a little aggressive of a term. I didn't really think that. I mean, like I just mentioned, it kind of felt normal, but I think it was more just, I wanted that monkey off my back of it just being a while out of the winner's circle. And I think that was just, you know, I felt the progression coming and I was patient with it, but you get one 54 hole lead and everyone thinks you're supposed to win right away when you haven't had a 54 hole lead in, you know, in a long time. So it was just more like, all right, now everybody chill out. It's a hard game, and I've done a really good job closing in my career. I never doubted that ability, and you're going to have bounces again that go your way and some that don't. Your first question, sorry.
Why have you played here?
I think a lot of it, I've really fared well on the greens, whether I've come in putting well or even in tough putting years, I've seemed to have the ball seems to find the hole here when I get on the putting surface. I think a lot of that has to do with speed control. I think mid-range to even long-range putting and touch putting is more important here than it is just about anywhere else. And I would say that over anything else has probably been the biggest strength over the years.
Murray?
Jordan, a lot of people, mainly in this room, love the idea of fairy tale, whereby your career starts with such highs, you have the downs, as you said them, you put it, then you come back and, for example, win the Masters. It's a great story. Can you allow yourself at all to think, do you think sport works that way, or do you have to be more pragmatic and cold about it and leave it to the likes of us?
I mean, I certainly wouldn't mind that this week, if that's what you're asking, but I think... I also like to step back and think, you know, I'm 27, and a lot of people's careers get started at 27 in this sport. And Phil was, what, 31 or something when he won his first major and had a major championship career after he won his first major and 4 or 5 years still my senior. So there's a lot of ways to look at it. I think for me it's not forcing into kind of the here and now and more – I mean, just taking the patient route and taking the momentum route, just try and get a little bit, do something just a little bit better this week than you did the week before, trust something that you didn't trust the week before and pull it off and gain that confidence. I mean, it's just head down almost like one shot at a time, but even that goes into practice sessions. I mean, it's just I like the progress that I'm making. I don't feel that I have the control of all facets of my game that I want to have yet. But I feel like I'm working the right direction. Will that make a difference this week? Don't know. But I'm going to work at trying to just be a little bit better than I was last week.
We've received a remote question from Justin Felder. How different is the atmosphere at Augusta National today in comparison to November? Of course, you've just
Unfortunately, I don't have a very good answer for that, being Monday at 1 when I got here Monday at noon. But I saw like 6 people watching people putt on the practice screen, and that's more than we saw in November. But it's fun. I mean, we were able to have tickets, and we've got family and friends coming in, and everyone's just as excited as every other year, if not more so, because they might even be able to see more golf around that, you know, Amen Corner stretch. And so I think, you know, the patrons play such a massive role into this tournament, the echoes, the roars down in the valley, and especially come the weekend, I think it's going to feel, it won't take many people for it to feel close enough to normal to be a fantastic event.
Taylor?
Given the struggles you've discussed at length, what are the biggest factors that have gotten you to this level? And specifically, what's the difference between this level and what you just said, the next level?
A lot of it's just been in mechanics of my golf swing. I got to where I was fighting some changes, whether it be injury I'm trying to do stuff myself, and I just got off mechanically to where I essentially was, you know, laid into the golf ball and just had bad, you know, inconsistent deliveries that led to inconsistent golf, and had to save stuff with my hands. And so I've just done a better job of cleaning up transition into the ball to where I've got it more on plane into the golf ball and shallowed and in a better position. To not have to rely on timing as much. But it's probably, I don't know, I mean, I'd say a little over halfway to where, I mean, I can tap into, I'm making some swings each week where I'm like, man, that was from mid-backswing, right in transition, I was like, that's going to be a missile right at the pin. And I'm trying to tap into what that timing phase is and just continue down the path of reversing thousands of swings, doing kind of the wrong thing into pushing the agenda that I'm on right now into where I can get it to be most of the swings that feel like that. And that's for everybody. I mean, that's not just me. That's what everyone's trying to do on the range this week is tap into their DNA, where they've struck the ball the best and where they've putted the best and figure out kind of how to get in that frame of mind and that timing as they step on the first tee Thursday. So I just got further off than normally professionals get. And so it's been a climb back and feel on the right path, but there's still a lot of work to go.
Scott?
And I know you haven't had a chance to get out there yet this week, but I think you've visited recently, and I've heard a lot of sort of chatter among players that they expect a lot firmer and tougher test this week, maybe because of November, but certainly since November. Do you expect that, and do other guys expect that? And do you prefer that kind of Masters test?
Yeah, I would expect that. I think, you know, if you get the weather that if the membership here and those who are setting up the golf course get the weather that they want to get, they like to see tournaments like 2014, 16, a little bit 17, where it's potentially less than 10 under par as a winning score, where it requires a lot more kind of course knowledge where you leave the ball. You have to hit an even more precise shot to get it where you want it to go. I think the firmer, the better as far as the way this golf course plays. I have no idea. I have not been here since December. And so I've heard that it is firmer and the grass around the greens is tighter and it's in just impeccable shape for being the Sunday before from the guys I talked to yesterday.
Mark?
Jordan, congratulations on yesterday. So we see it out here so often when guys go through slumps, extended slumps, the caddy is switched off and the coach, things like that. And I'm just curious what it says about you that you did not – you know, fall under that temptation or whatnot and stuck with Michael and Cam and Cameron and whatnot. Just kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I think I needed to take responsibility, look back and see, you know, what, first of all, it's part of the game. Some people on certain levels, some people on others. I mean, it's not like I lost my tour card. I just wasn't winning three times a year. So I think if I won once a year since then, you guys still might've called it slightly a slump off of some years. So it's all about whatever the expectations of the individual are and what they can manage from the outside. But for me, it was taking ownership and saying, you know, this is what happened. And it wasn't, I mean, I believe in my team. They've proven themselves to be the best in the world. And how can we all get a little bit better through this? and what steps are we going to take forward to be able to feel this momentum together as we start to make progress the right direction and then believing that that's happening.
Heard that outside noise, I'm assuming, those quote-unquote suggestions, oh, he should do this, he should do that.
Or... Not really. I've shut pretty much everything off for a number of years, actually, even when I was, you know, first, second in the world. I just don't think it's useful. If you get to where you're number one in the world, I don't really see why anyone who hasn't been in that position should be giving advice that you would then take to mean something. It seems... Certainly there are individuals that you trust that would have knowledge to, but as far as noise from on making changes or this or that or without, I mean, I think I struggled a little with that early in my career of listening to what was wrong when there was 100 things right and there was one thing that was wrong about something that I did. And I look back now and I'm like, the thing that person said was wrong was actually a weapon that I had that was actually an advantage. And so just... gaining that kind of knowledge and in turn helps me to, I guess, limit the noise that creeps into myself or my team and essentially just shutting it off and trusting the individuals that I want to trust, building kind of a good, whether it's whoever the other players are that I trust to talk to or our own team or whoever it may be. I mean, I think Bill Belichick, it's one of his, you know, very key things is, you know, eliminate the noise. And I remember seeing that one at Gillette Stadium before, I think, the Ryder Cup in 2016, and it's always stuck with me.
Marty?
Jordan, congratulations on yesterday. How's it going, man? I wonder, you've always had such tremendous perspective outside the game. I wonder what perspective, personally and or professionally, the drought gave you that maybe you didn't have previously?
I think I guess, humbled to an extent, right? I never felt like I ever got ahead of myself, never felt like I was out there overly confident. But I think it just kind of humbled, you know, you get humbled a little bit when, you know, for me, it really stunk when I missed the World Golf Championship. I didn't qualify for the World Golf Championship this year. And I think that was the first one that I didn't qualify for. And when there was a tournament being played that week that I was healthy and could play in and just didn't have a spot in the tournament, that kind of hit me. And it was a driving factor, I think, in continuing. And I was already, I'd finished well in a few events. But to answer your question, I think – I've learned a lot of patience. I probably spent a year of struggling where I was forcing a lot of things and it just made it worse, but it was just kind of hard not to force it because I just wanted to be back to playing good golf so quickly without really, sometimes less is more. I think it's just kind of a new, I'm not a very patient person in general. And I think having to kind of learn patience through struggles is massively important, where taking a step back and maybe taking a full month away from the game and then coming back with kind of a new game plan and a new set plan and sticking to it versus when you don't take that time off, a lot of times you just go almost day to day or week to week and you're just changing swing thoughts or you're changing, you know, your attitude. And so I think just the less is more in the patient mentality.
If that answers. Last question, Dylan.
Yeah, you talked about Annie being a really strong support system, but at the same time trying to separate, you know, golf from your home life. I mean, I think anyone sitting here could tell you it's easier to be in a good mood after you play a good, meaningless round of golf than it's not. How difficult is it to leave golf at the course, whether it's good or bad?
I think it's tough. I mean, if you're a super competitive person, it's really challenging. But it's something that you have to learn to do in relationships in any front. I mean, I can't go to dinner with Michael after a round where we've had a tough day and carry that as well, or it's just going to make matters worse. I can't bring it home to Annie. I can't, you know, bring it when I'm going to see my parents, you know, the next week when I get quality time with them when I haven't seen them in a couple weeks, right? So it's difficult, as you can imagine, but I think for me, I normally just, like, after a bad round or a bad, you know, I just need like an hour, and I think I can, I've done a good job of learning how to kind of decompress and then being able to move on and kind of just be normal and then have the next day be a new day.
Do in that hour, or you just need a little buffer zone?
Yeah, I just break everything. No, I just, it's just more just quiet the mind down, do some breathing, just a little meditation, whatever it may be, and just kind of hit the reset button.
Thanks, Jordan.
Jordan, thank you, and good luck this week.
Thank you.
So there you have Jordan Spieth. Great insights. Interesting things to say early this week. Gives you some insight into where his head is, where his head's been. And he speaks with eloquence, and he's always a gentleman. But he speaks the truth. He'll tell the media, which I appreciate very much, back off. I win once a year, and it's a slump. You heard that in the interview. Very interesting stuff from Jordan Spieth. We have more. Sorry it ran a little long, but I really wanted our listeners to be able to, for you guys out there to be able to hear into the soul of Jordan Spieth and what he's thinking as we are progressing now into the tournament. But when we come back, more from the press building, live from Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia. You're listening to Golf Talk America. Don't go anywhere.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or something preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapists. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. You can just log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room like you do with traditional therapy. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/golftalk. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Special offer for Golf Talk America listeners. You get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/golftalk. BetterHelp, HELP.com. If you've ever seen Frank Bassett in public, two words describe him: nattily attired. You can see him, and he's going to be looking sharp, and he's going to be wearing, for the most part, Mack Weldon stuff. Because Mack Weldon promises comfort and consistent fit, and they are so comfortable and so stylish and so good-looking, whether it's socks or shirts, shorts. Yes, even chicken legs Frank wears shorts from Mack Weldon. They had this program called Weldon Blue. It's totally free loyalty program. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life. And then once you reach level 2, by spending just $200, you get 20% off every order for the next year. Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable, too. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep them, and they'll still refund you all the money. No questions asked. So get 20% off your first order. Right now, visit MackWeldon.com/GTA and enter the promo code GTA. That's MackWeldon.com/GTA, as in Golf Talk America. Promo code GTA for 20% off Mack Weldon. Reinventing men's basics.
Well, I don't appreciate being called chicken legs, okay? So, the truth hurts. Anyway, yeah, Mack Weldon, great stuff. BetterHelp, a wonderful organization. We thank them both. They're great sponsors. And thank all of you for being part of this special presentation of Golf Talk America. We're going to have a little bit more for you from Augusta, Georgia, from the press building, live. Earlier this week, we captured some good stuff, and from some really good players I think you'll enjoy. Caught up with somebody you may know, the reigning, or defending, I should say, champion of the Masters.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's my great pleasure to welcome to the Media Center our defending 2020 Masters champion, and world ranking number one golfer in the world, Dustin Johnson. Dustin, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with your performance in November of 2020. It set all sorts of records. I believe you shot 65, 70, 65, 68 for a 268, 20 under total. Just extraordinary. Never happened before. May not happen again, but you played beautifully. You set numerous records during that tournament, and it seemed like every component in your arsenal was hitting on full cylinders.
Yeah, it was obviously it was a very special week, and yeah, every part of my game was working very well. You know, I really drove the ball well, hit a lot of hit a lot of greens, which is it's a must around here. If you want to play well, you hit a lot of greens, and then if you don't, you got to miss in the right spots. But I felt like I just had full control of the golf game all week, and I was able to put four good scores together.
Would you assess your game currently? Are you ready for a repeat? Is your game in great shape?
It's in good shape. Maybe not quite as good as shape as it was in November, but I feel like it's coming together. I'm starting to hit a lot of the same shots and, getting a lot more comfortable over the golf ball. And, I feel like it's in pretty good form.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question that's probably been asked of you often about how important is winning the Masters, et cetera. And I know it's obviously one of the most coveted titles in sport, but I'd like to ask it in a different reference because you are from South Carolina. You grew up in Columbia, Lexington area. You played junior golf there. You played high school golf. You played college golf. And as far as I can see and look at the records, you're the only Masters champion that was born in South Carolina. So with that said, has it come to a realization to you that the inspiration and motivation that you're giving to tens of thousands of kids who are growing up in first tee or junior golf, not only in South Carolina, but throughout the country, because your story is a beautiful story of growth into prosperity.
Yeah, obviously I've had a very nice career and I tried, the best I can to, I have my junior tournament in Myrtle Beach and, my foundation. We help a lot of junior golfers. I help out with some South Carolina Junior Golf Association tournaments. And so, for me, it's very important to, give back to the junior golf in South Carolina, as best I can. Obviously, we're very busy, so I don't get to, spend much time. But, I try to help out in any way I can. But growing up in the state of South Carolina and, that's where I've, honed my skills in. So it's definitely special to me, and I try to do what I can.
We appreciate that. Let's open it up for questions, please. Doug?
Couple, DJ. First of all, what have you learned about what you need to do this week based on the time you've been here getting ready for the tournament?
You're going to need to do everything well this week. The course is in fantastic condition. It's, it's pretty firm for – yesterday and today, for Monday and Tuesday, it's, balls bouncing a good bit and, greens are rolling really nice. So definitely a lot of different conditions than it was in November. Obviously the golf course played really soft then just because of the weather. Obviously this weekend they're calling for a little bit of rain. Don't know really how much it'll affect the golf course, but, as of right now, the course is going to play pretty difficult, but it's still the same. I mean, you got to hit numbers, no matter if the ball is spinning back or staying in place or bouncing forward. You still got to hit quality golf shots and land them in the spots that you want to. But with the course being firm and fast like it is, you definitely gonna have to be a little bit more careful about where you hit the ball.
Good.
History, not necessarily always your strong suit. Do you know the three other guys who have won back-to-back here?
I do.
Really?
I do.
I mean, I'm sorry to be surprised. Why do you think so few have done it?
Because, it's a tough tournament to win. Like I said, you're going to have to put four good rounds together, especially with the conditions, like normal conditions. It's, you got to do everything well. And with it firm and fast, it's just a really hard golf course because, obviously any hole at any time can jump out and get you. So it's just very tough to win. I mean, to win once and especially multiple times.
Paul?
Justin, you and your brother seem to have good chemistry out on the golf course. Without giving away any family secrets, can you share with us the chemistry you guys have and whether it was more special to win with him on the bag?
Absolutely. You know, my brother's been on the bag since, you know, the end of 13. And, you know, we've always been close. And he played a lot of golf as a junior. So, you know, it wasn't like he was coming in, you know, not knowing anything about golf. But yeah, just, you know, as much time as you spend with your caddy and, you know, travel the world, we play a lot of golf at home. So it's great having him on the bag. And obviously, you know, having him caddying, you know, last year when I won the Masters was really, really special. And it's, you know, one of those things that you'll never forget.
Colin?
Hi, Destin. Congrats on your first Champions Dinner. But quick question, were there any options that were close to making the cut for tonight's menu?
No, I think that was kind of my kind of the menu that I had set from once I started, you know, kind of putting it together.
Bill? I'm sorry. Gentleman in the red shirt.
DJ, your grandfather, Art, what a great guy, and condolences. Do you have a story or some thoughts on how he shaped you in Austin when you guys were growing up?
Yeah, I mean, he was always a big part of both of our lives, just with sports. You know, he was a huge sports fan. Didn't matter, you know, what sport it was, he thought he knew how to play it, and he was good at it, that's for sure, even with golf, even though I don't even think he ever hit a golf ball, he'd still try to tell me how to play. But that's just how he was. And I mean, you know, as a kid and, you know, playing, you know, all the different sports, he was always there and always real supportive. And, you know, so obviously, we're, you know, definitely going to miss him. But yeah, he's in a good place.
That question, please.
For me? Sorry. I'm just wondering, as you're preparing for this Masters, do you compare it to November to say that shot worked, that shot didn't? Is there any comparison just because the conditions are so
different? Oh, I mean, it's still the same golf course. So, yeah, I mean, the shots that you hit, that doesn't really change. Just the spots where you land it kind of change depending on the firmness and, you know, where you're at or what club you're hitting. But, I mean, the golf course hadn't changed.
Chris?
That was me, Rob.
I'm sorry. Chris?
It's me.
Okay. You, sir.
Austin, what were some of the most enjoyable things that you got to do with the green jacket, or some of the best reactions from people who maybe you let wear it as well?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a special piece of clothing to have. But probably the coolest thing was wearing it when I was here, like, you know, having dinner or, you know, for me, that was probably the coolest. I didn't really wear it anywhere or do any. I haven't had it for that long, so didn't do a whole lot of things, especially with COVID and all. You know, wasn't doing, you know, not like we were really doing much. So, but I enjoyed it wearing it while I was here.
Sean,
5 straight top tens here. I was wondering, you know, switching to the fade about 5 years ago, do you feel like that made you better suited to play this golf course in any way? And did you draw any shots last year, hit any draws?
I mean, on 10, but it's not really a draw, it's a hook. But no, I think just once I started hitting a fade, it's not really better suited for here. I just started driving it straighter. So, I, you know, don't get in as much trouble. But, I mean, that's about it. I mean, because I obviously, if you draw the ball, the course sets up fantastic. But for me, yeah, just hitting the fade, I just, you know, started hitting it a little bit straighter.
Daniel?
Justin, returning here as a champion, how has your mindset changed when you enter the property or driving down Magnolia Lane?
I mean, the mindset coming into the week doesn't change at all just because, you know, it's another tournament. You know, I won the Masters those 5 months ago. So, you know, coming in this week, it's a new year. It's a new tournament. So the mindset's still the same. I mean, I come in and I'm, you know, just trying to, well, I'm ready for the event, but just, you know, going out, getting ready for the tournament, you know, seeing how the course is playing, working on the shots that I need to work on. And, So that's kind of the mindset, but so it's not going to change.
Ask a quick follow-up too as well. Did anybody help you with this Champions Dinner menu tonight, or did your kids have any influence maybe on the pigs in a blanket?
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, I worked with the club, Jim James. So it was those who helped me with the dinner.
Hiromi, in the back.
Thank you. This year, fans are going to be back cheering you. Having fan cheer you, in what way does that help your game?
Yeah, I mean, last year was obviously a strange year playing the Masters with no patrons. So it's definitely a whole different vibe out there this year, and it's exciting to have them back. And, you know, especially with the weather we've had the last couple of days, it's been really nice. And obviously, having the patrons out there, it definitely brings a lot more excitement, and it's going to be like that for the tournament this year.
That
seems like since the weekend at LA, your game hasn't been as sharp as it was thereabouts. What went wrong, or what's caused it to be good and not great? And what do you have to do to what is the one area you need to do to put it back to where you want?
Well, I think it's getting there. Sometimes, you know, played in Hawaii with a lot of wind, LA with a lot of wind, Saudi with a lot of wind. Sometimes just get a little bit off. And I think that was kind of the, you know, for me, just my setup and, you know, posture was just a little bit off, which caused me to hit some funny shots, and which is kind of the difference of, you know, playing really well or, you know, playing just okay. I think that was the main thing, but I've worked a lot on it the last, you know, couple weeks, and feel like, you know, played really good in Austin, you know, tee to green, and, you know, felt like, I mean, actually, you know, if we were playing stroke play, I felt like I would have played really well just as match play. So, you know, things happen. But I feel like the game's, you know, it's starting to get really sharp again, and I feel really comfortable. So looking forward to this week.
Have you ever found yourself in a slump? And by that context, I mean, seeing Ricky's kind of in one now. Jordan seems to be kind of pulling himself out of a three-year drought. I know you've won pretty much every year but one, but have you ever found yourself on the border of panicking when things were extended for bad play, however you define bad play, 20th maybe, I don't know.
Panicking? No. It's golf. I mean, it's a game that, you know, it's, you know, one day you're on, one day you're off. I mean, I've gone through some spells where I wasn't playing that well, but generally it's, you know, for me, I've just found that if I, you know, go out and keep working at it, you know, eventually it's going to come back around. I mean, it's obviously, I don't think I've ever lost it for that long of a period of time, but so don't really know how to answer that question, but no, I've not ever panicked.
Joe?
Dustin, you've talked about having nerves on Sunday. How did the early start time affect you? Specifically, what would have been different if it had been just a normal afternoon start?
Not real sure, because it wasn't. But I mean,
more time to think about it, right? If it had been in the afternoon.
It definitely would have had more time, but it wouldn't have been any different. I think I just still felt the same, no matter teeing off at 10:30 or whatever time we teed off, or, you know, 2 o'clock. Either way, I was gonna feel the same, you know, when I came out.
Are there any other questions, please? One in the back. Cody, yes, sir.
So, Dustin, since you won just a couple of months ago, do you feel like that there is less pressure to go out there and, you know, try to get another jacket?
Yes and no. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I won the Masters, so it's, you know, there's no pressure on trying to win the golf tournament, but, you know, still I want to go out and, you know, I'm defending champ, so I want to go out and, you know, put myself in a position where I've got a chance to defend my title come the, you know, the back nine on Sunday.
Sean?
Yeah, the driver hasn't been up to par for you this year compared to, honestly, probably one of the best driving careers in golf. Are you frustrated with that club right now? And why hasn't it been great this year?
No, I feel like it's gotten better. I think, like, even in Austin in the match play, I'm pretty sure my driving, I was leading in strokes gained driving. So well, through the few days that I played. So the driver feels a lot better. I've actually went in and put the new Sim 2 Max in. So I've got a new driver and or put our new driver in play. So I played it at Austin, and I'll be playing it again this week. So it's going a lot better, and I feel like I'm driving it well.
Are there any other questions, Doug?
Yes, sir. I had to guess today. How old will you be when you stop playing the Masters?
I feel like I got no chance to win.
What age would that be if you were to guess without panicking?
I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know how long I'm going to play golf, so.
This week.
I'm going to play this week for sure. Maybe not next week, though. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'll be at RBC next week.
Well, seeing no other questions, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. Dustin, thank you, and we wish you the very best of luck this year.
So there you got to hear a little bit of Dustin Johnson. He has a great personality. He's a great guy to be around. And he tongue-in-cheeks them a little bit. He gives the media what they deserve because there's some really dumb questions that are asked by all of us in the media on occasion. If you didn't get the joke about next week, what he was referring to is on his left sleeve is his sponsor, which is one of his sponsors, which is RBC. So he was joking tongue-in-cheek about maybe not next week. If he doesn't play next week, that could really cost him a whole lot more than, well, it could cost him a lot, but he was just kidding. So we've had a little bit of Jordan Spieth, a totally different personality in Dustin Johnson. You're getting some great insight, I think, for our listeners here, as to what goes on inside the media center, if you will, or in Augusta, as we call it, the press building, which is a phenomenal facility. It's the best in the world, bar any sport, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, whatever it is, golf. This press building has a restaurant in it. It's just an incredible facility. It's a shame that we can't take you all through and let you see it. But anyway, some great insights from some great players. There's more to come. Don't go away. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with what's up next. You're listening to Golf Talk America.
You know, men's health doesn't get much attention, and that's partly our fault, guys. We don't like going to the doctor, and we definitely don't like talking about sensitive issues. You know, here's the thing. A lot of men's health issues have really simple solutions, and RexMD.com is here for that. See, RexMD makes getting prescription ED medications easy. It's all done online and from the comfort of your home. Then it's delivered. No office visits, no talking to the receptionist. It's super simple. And right now, sample packs of ED medications are available for listeners of Golf Talk America. And I'll tell you how to get those in a second. Here's how it works. You just fill out a quick medical questionnaire on their website, and a doctor reviews your situation and prescribes you the ED medication you need, if appropriate. Then your medication is shipped right to your door with free two-day shipping. And they have all the most popular medications and at great prices. Those sample pack prescriptions I mentioned are available at rexmd.com/GTA. rexmd.com/GTA to get started with RexMD. rexmd.com/GTA.
And welcome back, everybody. Frank Bassett, Golf Talk America. It's Masters Week. Live at the Masters in the Media Center early in the week, we caught up with a bunch of players. And we highlighted a few of them for you. We've had Jordan Spieth on. We've had Dustin Johnson on. And now another player that, well, quite frankly, I'll let this one speak for itself. That's just really all I can say.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to introduce our three-time Masters champion, Phil Mickelson. Phil, welcome to your 29th Masters. Looking back a bit, 30 years ago in 1991, Phil first appeared as an amateur here, and to remind you what a career he had as an amateur. He came in as the U.S. amateur champion, a three-time NCAA individual champion while at Arizona State. He had already won a PGA Tour event in 1991 as an amateur, the last amateur to do so. And in the 1991 Masters, Phil was low amateur. So, Phil, you've been playing golf at a world-class level for 30 years, and we know you're not done. Last November, Phil opened the tournament with a 69 and a 70, again showing how well-suited his game is to Augusta National. And we've had an abbreviated period of time since November for this Masters. Phil, how have you been going about preparing your game?
Well, I love being back here. I'm excited that we are able to hold this tournament, and I'm appreciative of us holding this event back in November and making it possible in 2020 when it was a rough year. But it's fun for all golfers as a kid to dream about this event and play and participate in it. I love coming back here, and my game, I think, it feels better than the scores have been, but I've got some work to do, and it's been a fun challenge for me to get back to playing at a high level.
Great. Let's open it up for questions. Steve?
Well, on Sunday, I think we saw you hit balls for 3 hours. You were on the putting green for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. You played a practice round. Did you find anything on Sunday?
So, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I had some work to do to make sure that I had the setup in the bag that I wanted, and that when I practiced this week, that I was working with the right clubs, that I wasn't searching for things, and that everything was dialed in. And so I thought it went well. I feel like I'm playing well. I've got some good things going. I've made some progress, but I haven't played at the level I expect to recently. And I actually enjoy the challenge of getting my game back, because there's really nothing physically holding me back from playing at the highest level, but mentally I've got to be sharper, and I'm working on that. I'm enjoying the challenge of playing at the highest level.
Tim?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I caught you sneaking a look or two at that rather iconic image. Even with all you've done, all you've done in the game, all you've won, where do moments like that still rank for you?
So that's one of my top two. I mean, that is probably the greatest joy that I've felt. You know, the relief of the pressure of why haven't I won a major to winning the Masters and being part of the history of the game and sharing it with my family, and just a very special moment in my life. And the greatest feeling of accomplishment, I think, was winning the British Open in 2013, because it wasn't really a style of golf that was suited to my game. But I had played so well here for so many years that I knew it was a matter of time before I broke through and won. And I never really doubted that I would end up, you know, winning this tournament. It's a course that was very well suited for the way I grew up playing. But that joy of winning it for the first time, finally breaking through, is, you know, it's beyond belief. Every time I see that, it's become my logo, and it brings out emotion in me every time I see it. It's a very, for me, powerful thing to bring out the emotion of accomplishing my personal major championship. You know, in this case, it might be golf, but for everybody else, it might be their own major in their job or their family or what have you. And that just elicits an emotional response from me every time I see it.
Back much? At that place yet where you reminisce?
A little bit of both. Like I look back and I enjoy all the things that I've been able to experience, mainly because of the game of golf. And I look back at, but yet I still look forward at the challenges that I need in my life to get the best out of me.
Colin?
Hey, Phil. Fast forwarding to tonight's Champions Dinner, how are we feeling about the pigs in the blanket? You a fan, or what's up?
I'm always open to whatever the Masters champion has to try. I've tried a lot of different cuisine over the years. I think it's pretty cool. I remember, I'll share with you a little funny story from Adam Scott's victory. And he had had this wonderful meal, Australian themed, and out comes dessert, and it's pavlova. It's meringue with some fruit and so forth. And I said, no, you can't Google this stuff because our cell phone, you know, there's no cell phones allowed, right? And I said, pavlova, that's inspired by the great Russian ballerina Anna Pavlova, who was touring through New Zealand, Australia, and the Australian chef was so inspired by her beautiful movement and tutus, she ended up made a dessert after her. Chairman Payne looked at me like, what kind of stuff are you spewing here, you know? And this is true. You know, Zach Johnson looks at me, he says, I got $100, says, that's not right. You know, so everybody's calling me out of my BS. And a lot of times I am BSing. However, my daughter was a dancer. And she wrote a biography on Anna Pavlova. And I made 32 pavlovas for her class when she was a little girl. And I knew this. And I ended up, you know, being right, which is not often. And I was right on that particular moment. So some of these moments that goes down in Champions Dinner are special. And that was, that was cuisine inspired.
James, yes, question.
Bill, okay. I'm just curious. Sometimes you have a dream of being, you dreamed of being here, and it doesn't quite live up to your expectations. Did this even surpass your dreams of what this would be like to play here?
Yeah, probably. I mean, when I look at what's transpired in the last 30 years, 29 years since I first played here, and all of the things that have changed over the years, like I would never come up with some of the incredible ideas that have taken place from the acquiring the land and making that, you know, the driving range and what it is, and making the parking and the experience for the patrons what it is, and the media center here and the tunnels, and it's just the details of and the depth with this, the way this has been so well thought through. And no tournament treats their players and past champions better than this tournament right here. So it just has an incredible feeling as a player when you are here, and the way they take care of us and how well run everything is.
Christine.
Hi, Phil. As you know, outside the gates here, Georgia has been in the news of late with the new voting law. And Major League Baseball, of course, just pulled the All-Star game out of Georgia, as I'm sure you're aware. Is your sport doing enough to combat this law, especially with the game's stated efforts on diversity and inclusion? Thank you.
I'm really not knowledgeable on state laws through across the United States and all the laws that we have. I'm aware of some from California that we have, and we tend to be the leader in a lot of that area as far as human rights, civil rights, diversity, and so forth. And I'm proud of that. And hopefully, as a Californian, although I'll be moving soon, but we lead by example. And so I'm not really familiar with the details of the law you're talking about, but I do believe in the rights and treating all people equal. And I hope that as a Californian, we lead by example, and that others will follow suit.
Robert.
Do you prefer, does it suit you to have the course this firm? And can you compare it to, obviously it's not the same as November, but to other April Masters of recent vintage? I mean, is it setting up to be faster and firmer than we've seen in a while?
I would say for the last decade, the greens here are in the top 25% of softest we play on tour. And the golf course's only defense is the greens, right? So when the greens are firm, the precision, the course management, the angles, the leave where the ball is left, all of this stuff becomes incredibly important in your ability to play this course effectively. When the greens are soft, it's irrelevant because you can fly the ball over all the trouble. Angles don't matter. I plugged a 5-iron last November into the second green. It plugged. So the guys are so precise in their ability to fly the golf ball the correct yardage with every club, that if you have soft receptive greens, it's like having a military and then not giving them any weapons, right? It's defenseless. And so with firm greens, that's the defense. It's not like we have, there's no U.S. open rough here. There's no tight fairways, and the defense is the greens, right? And so even though the course was made longer, the ability for all the best players to fly the ball a specific yardage with whatever club, whether it's a 5, 6, 7, 8, if the ball stops on those sections, they're going to eat this course up, every course. However, when the greens are firm, those small sections are very hard to hit, and you've got to really strategize on where you leave it. That's the whole defense of the golf course. So if it's firm, I think it's going to be a real test. And look, the major championships should challenge and test the best players. It's hard to set, but it's really a hard job to set a golf course upright because you're always trying to find the line and not crossing it, and it's a tough thing to do. But I think with firm greens, this golf course needs to be respected, and I think it's been a long time since it's had to be respected.
You think there was any sense of trying to make sure that it's more difficult based on DJ shooting 20 under, you know, a tournament record? I realize it was November and different.
I don't know, but I would say that there's nobody more qualified within the club to know, understand, and set the golf course up better than the chairman, Fred Ridley. I mean, his ability to play the game, to understand the game at the highest level, I think he's the most qualified to do it right, and I think he is.
Tara.
Bill, over to you. You talked about the treatment of past champions, you know, and how special and different that is here. It seems to me, at least, that part of that is sort of becoming these de facto spokespeople for the course and the tournament and all that. Have you ever struggled to reconcile at all some of, like, Augusta's past policies and being asked about those, even though you're just a golfer here, and then still loving it as much as you do, but sort of knowing some of that? Is that just a balance, or have you ever felt yourself needing to reconcile that?
When I was a kid, I grew up dreaming of winning the Masters and being a part of the history here and watching Seve Ballesteros, you know, win in the early 80s twice and pumping his fist and the charisma. Like, it was my dream to win here, to be a part of the history here. And the way now that I have won and I'm part of the history, the way that I get treated here is second to none. I'm just very appreciative of the way they've treated me. Years ago, I made a statement tax-wise, California, big mistake, got into politics, not going to do it again. So I have my beliefs, and I'm going to live my life according to those beliefs, and I'm going to try to treat people the right way and without discrimination. That's the best I can do, is lead by example. But I'm not going to get into politics. It's never goes well.
William?
Phil, over 100 trips now around this place, the 12th hole, all those rounds. You mentioned respect earlier about the course. That hole's largely unchanged over the years, yet still can strike fear into a player, especially on Sunday afternoon. What makes that hole so great?
The possibility of such a huge discrepancy in score makes that hole so great. From a 2 to, we've seen, you know, large numbers, but a 5, 2 to 5 is very realistic, right? So it's a little bit different in that the way I and other left-handed players view some of the holes and some of the shots, where we have to be aggressive, where we have to be defensive, is different than a right-handed player based on our shot dispersion. And number 12 is a hole that sets up much better along the shot dispersion of a left-handed golfer than it does a right-handed player. So for me to be able to aim at the right side of the green, right center of the green, and if I pull it and it goes, it's going to go a little bit longer into the right and still carry the water. And if I come out of it, it's going to go a little shorter left and get on the green. So I view 12 is where I've got to start getting aggressive. I actually view it as a birdie hole. I've got to get after that pin. Whereas a right-handed player, if they come out of it, it's short right, it's going to hit the bank, go in the water. And if they pull it, it's going to go long left into that back bank, and it's very hard up and down. And so that's one of the shots that you have to be very defensive on, right? And conversely, number 11 is the opposite. Like 11, you, as a right-handed player, it sets perfectly for that dispersion. For me, that's a really hard hole. That's a really hard second shot. There's no miss. You know, short left, water, long right, very tough up and down. I've got to hit a great shot there. So the course plays a little bit differently from my eye than I think a lot of guys historically. And 12 is where most people have to be defensive, but it's where I think it's go time.
Ryan?
Bill, I can't see from here. Is that a bandage or a splint on your finger?
Oh, it's just tape. I just hit a lot of balls. It just, I get calluses and cuts and whatever. I'm just taping. It's fine. There's nothing there.
And then secondly, in your 29th appearance, is there anything you're still learning about this golf course? And if so, can you offer any examples?
Well, it changes all the time. So there's always little subtleties being changed in the greens and the teeing areas. The angle of the edge of the green, a little bit more severe, a little bit more severe upright. So all of these little subtleties I'm picking up on. And I'm just becoming aware of it because it changes the shot just a little bit. As an example, short left on 17, just short left of that bunker, the angle at which the fringe, it's just more vertical, and then it goes down before it gets to the green, and then it goes back up. And so if you land it short, it's gonna kill it, right? So you need to know that if you're trying to bounce one up or come in out of the rough, that, look, you got to land it 5 yards short of it. You can't land it 2 yards short of it because it'll hit a very severe upslope. It's little details like that that I try to pick up on, make me aware so that if I do hit a good shot, it ends up where I expect and not be surprised.
I'm sorry we can't get to all your questions. Our time is up. Phil, thank you so much.
One more for Mark, though. Is that cool?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Appreciate it. I'm just curious, you've been dabbling a little bit with some of the Champions Tour stuff. Where are you at right now in terms of mixing more of that in? I know you talked about your form has been good and the scores haven't been showing. You've had success over there a little bit. Is there a little bit of a tug of war taking place yet for you with that?
So I've seen a lot of progress in my game without a lot of results. And so if I start getting the results, I enjoy the challenge of it. And the difficulty is when you're on a plateau and you're not really making advancements and you're putting in the work and putting in the work and you're not seeing the results to stay consistent and to stay committed. And as I continue to do that, I need some results to keep me motivated to compete against the best players. Otherwise, I really enjoy the Champions Tour. I enjoy having pins that are 5 from the edge and not 2.5 and 3. And I enjoy having a chance to short side yourself and still get up and down. And I enjoy having 15 feet around the hole where you can have an aggressive putt and not having the pin on a fall off ledge, like 3 feet from it, like we seem to have every week. And I enjoy being able to play more aggressive. So I'm having fun, a lot more fun than I thought on the Champions Tour, but yet the challenge that gets the best out of me is trying to play and compete against the best players. It's what gets me motivated to be in the gym and to try to be physically able to swing fast enough to compete against these guys and to be strong enough in my core to be able to practice as much as I need to and hit balls, like you said, on Sunday for hours and still be fine and able to do that. So that's what drives me and motivates me. So I still want to have that challenge in my life because it brings the best out of me, but the Champions Tour is a lot more fun than I ever thought, and I enjoy playing those events. And I will play some. I won't play it full time if I'm able to compete out here or feel I'm able to compete out here. But I do enjoy them. Thanks,
Phil. Thank you very much. Thanks. We wish you the best this week.
Thank you.
So there you go. Always interesting. Always fun to listen to Phil Mickelson talk. Interesting stuff, interesting comments, going to be a great week. Three great guests, or interviews, I should say, that we put on the show today. This is it, folks. This is Masters Week, and there's just, in my eyes, no better week of the year. Well, the Players' Championship is pretty important, too, as you well know. Anyway, for Tim Matthews, I'm Frank Bassett. Enjoy the Masters.